I'm Rachel from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXCast.
You are listening to PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopXCast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. This is PopXCast episode number 44, coming to you live right here on this Monday, January the 16th, Martin Luther King Day, 2017. Austin Burke, what's going on in your neck of the woods, buddy?
Oh, man, it's great to be here. Can't believe it is already 2017, Joe.
Right?
Let's make this an awesome year for some awesome episodes of PopXCast.
Oh, man, we have, you know what, this is one of the most, I thought I was excited last year for movies and just geeky things that are coming out.
Oh, man.
I think, honestly, with just the news that we've already had, just coming into 2017, yeah, that this is going to be a year above all years. We got the Nintendo Switch coming out. We've got how many Marvel movies and cinematic comic book movies do we have coming out? It's going to be crazy this year. But
the slate for 2017 is packed, man. And not just movies either. We've got some awesome video games coming out as well.
Yeah,
so that's exciting,
man. And I apologize, guys, that we wasn't able to make it on the point at 9 o'clock p.m. We've been having some internet technical issues on my end. So I've been trying to talk back and forth to my internet service provider, trying to get that ironed out. When you have no internet, guess what? You can't do a live stream. So it kind of sucks a little bit. But thank you so much for bearing with us and joining us right here. We got some people hanging out with us over in the PopX.live room. We got Michael Thomas, got Cliff Bodenvisor, Lindsay Badgers hanging out, throwing down over in the chat room. What an exciting time. Episode 44. Hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live here on PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at popxcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. You guys missed last week's episode 43, The Walking Dead and CW Superhero Catch-Up. Check our official website at popxcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX. Also, be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes. Click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from PopX. While you're there, please leave us a wonderful and glowing 5-star rating and review. We appreciate it. Joe.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Dude, first and foremost, this is the first time I've actually talked to you on PopX from having Christmas and New Year's. How was your holidays, man?
It was fantastic. I may or may not have gotten engaged over the break.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What? You got engaged?
Yeah. It's step one into manhood.
You bit the bullet, huh?
I did. I had the ring, so I figured I had to get rid of it somehow. And
oh my gosh, dude, that is so awesome. Well, congratulations.
It's crazy. Thank you so much, man. I called you like immediately right after I did it, because you were the first person. And I was like, okay, as soon as I get on PopX, I got to tell everybody, because it's scary, but it's very exciting. And we're gonna have an awesome life filled with comic books and comic book movies and video games.
I was going to say, man, she's about as nerdy as you are. So you guys are like two peas in a freaking pod here.
Two peas in a nerdy pod, man.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that is awesome, man. Happy New Year. And then, happy belated Christmas and all that jazz. And yes, I was the first on the call list for that. So
yes, you were. Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations. Well deserved. Thank you, for both of you all. Well, guys,
it's been a good month.
We're going to transition now into the news of this week. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
Oh, man, I tell you what, Mike just gets better and better with those graphics, does he not?
His graphics are always incredible. And it's 2017, so you know he's going to step it up this year.
Yeah,
so.
He's on fleek. He's doing what he needs to do. He's on fleek with the graphics. And speaking of graphics, did you notice the new imagery for PopX coming into 2017?
Dude, the retroness of this this new image that we have right here is out the roof. I love it, dude. I love it. We're stepping up our game this
year. Thank you. It is a Photoshop original.
You're a Photoshop master, my friend.
Yes. I'm a master of many things. Anyway. All right. So we actually got to bring the tone down. And probably already know what we're going to talk about. If you have if you have any idea what's happened in the past month, in especially in the Star Wars fandom, you know already what we're going to talk about. So let's just go ahead and get it over with. And just talk about the elephant in the room. Since the passing of Carrie Fisher, there have been rumors floating around the internet about how her character would affect future Star Wars films. Lucasfilm has issued a statement in regards to the rumors. And they said, in quote, "We don't normally respond to fan or press speculation, but there is a rumor circulating that we would like to address. We want to assure our fans that Lucasfilm has no plans to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher's performance as Princess or General Leia Organa. Carrie Fisher was, is, and always will be a part of the Lucasfilm family. She was our princess, our general, and more importantly, our friend. We are still hurting from her loss. We cherish her memory and legacy as Princess Leia and always strive to honor everything she gave to Star Wars," end quote.
Wow.
And I am so glad that Lucasfilm took the initiative and addressed the speculation and what fans were concerned about, because having seen Rogue One, we saw that they were capable of resurrecting people who have passed. And I just think, honestly, it's too soon to do that for Leia. Yes. So
I agree. It's the initial rumors were saying that they were going to try to recreate it, and the fan backlash was a little hectic. So I appreciate what Disney did there by letting us know, hey, we're too close. This just happened, and we're going to let her memory live on in the movies that she was already in. So I respect what they did there. Yeah. So I think they made the right move for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well,
so moving on.
Yes, move into some.
The Secret Empire is coming, Joe.
Okay.
The Secret Empire is coming. And Marvel has released a new teaser for their big upcoming event. The newest teaser includes the text, "United We Stand," and features a gathering of some interesting heroes. So Spider-Man, Peter Parker, spearheads the group, while Captain Marvel, Rocket Raccoon, Captain America, Steve Rogers, Black Bolt, Black Panther, Black Widow, Logan, and Deadpool follow him into battle. The most curious additions are Black Panther, Logan, Captain Marvel, and Black Bolt from the Inhumans. Now, Captain Marvel, Captain America, and Black Panther were all involved on opposite sides of the second Civil War event. And Logan and Black Bolt are locked in a war of survival in the pages of Inhumans versus X-Men. The even bigger thread is that Captain America might very well be a part of the Secret Empire, and he's been an undercover Hydra agent since the history was rewritten by Kobik, the sentient cosmic cube. Whether he is acting off his own accord here or is working against the heroes remains to be seen, and he is in the midst of dethroning the Red Skull from his lofty Hydra perch. So there's a lot of interesting and conflicting stories going on here, Joe. What's
your
thoughts?
Well, I think, honestly, with the addition of the Inhumans and Deadpool and Logan, we know that there's an ongoing series right now in Marvel Comics. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with it, but there is a X-Men versus Inhumans going on right now. Those books are on the newsstand, and you can get them on Comixology as well. Also, spoiler alert, if you didn't catch the ending of Secret Wars Part 2, Tony Stark is paralyzed, and he is in... Spoiler alert. So if you didn't know none of this, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So Tony Stark is in a vegetative state, but somehow his conscience, like Jarvis, is able to talk to other heroes using his technology.
What?
Yeah. So you got a creeper behind you, Austin.
it's my roommate.
I'm sorry, I was looking at you because you.
I was like, I just saw the door opening up really slowly, and I'm like, what is going on here? I was like, this is the most creepiest thing I've ever seen in Pop-X history. It's just like slowly. It's like a scene from The Conjuring Part 2. It's like, hey.
There are two options. So I may or may not have left my door unlocked. So I could have died just now, or it was my roommate. I'm glad it was this.
That was so trippy. Josh Burke over in the chat room says, hello, you're my little cousin and your little brother.
No
is,
way.
He's God. Here. What's yes. up, Josh? What are you doing, boy. Man? Oh, man, he's rocking it out. Well, so if you didn't catch the end of Secret Wars, Tony Stark kind of, you know, he's not out. He's not out. He's not dead, but he's unconscious, vegetative.
I didn't even know that. That's
and
incredible.
So it's really interesting. So leading into the Secret Empire, before we move on to the next one, have you noticed anything funky about the shield?
It's a lot different.
Okay.
It's a throwback to the old shield, correct? Is that what they're going
let
for?
Let me give you some history because this is where I come in. Pop culture comic book historian. That is the actual shield used from Timely Comics, which was the original name of Marvel Comics when Stan Lee got it in 1944.
Wow.
So there you go.
What?
Joe.
Dude, come welcome.
On. I know. I got a million of them. All right, so moving on, we have Marvel fans are also Game of Thrones enthusiasts. Recently, got a thrill when it comes when it was announced that Peter Dinklage has joined the cast of Avengers: Infinity War. You heard me correct, ladies and gentlemen. Like with wow. all Marvel movie castings, the details of whom Dinklage is playing has been kept secretly under wraps. So, but it has stopped that the usual fan speculation. There is one theory that is gaining steam, which brings us to question at hand. Is Peter Dinklage playing MODOK in Marvel Cinematic Universe? If you have no idea who MODOK is, he is a cosmic being. He has powers and he is just, he's up there with, I don't want to say Galactus or Thanos, but he's powerful.
Yes, he's awesome. And I've always wanted to see MODOK in the cinematic universe. Yeah. And Peter Dinklage, are you kidding me? One of the best actors in the last 10 years.
Peter
I mean,
Dinklage
he's phenomenal,
is awesome,
man.
Dude. And might I say he was an elf, which
you're an elf.
Say that again.
Hey, and he is making the jump from the X-Men universe.
I love it.
Because
I love it. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
But moving on, our next news is about Arrow. So in the back half of Arrow season 5, series star Stephen Amell has been hinting that there could be a lot more focus on Oliver Queen, Star City Mayor. There are a couple of episodes coming up that are really fun, Amell told fans during a Facebook Live broadcast. A couple of episodes that I'm barely in the Arrow suit, so that's interesting in itself, which is not to say that the action is lower. It's just different. So they're changing the tone of the show a little bit. I like that.
Well, hopefully we see more of Team Arrow evolve
yeah,
as more of a team where Oliver kind of sits back and just lets the team gel. Lets them come together.
Yeah.
I'm down with
that's
that.
That's interesting.
I'm down with that. So moving on with news, during an interview with Deadpool screenwriters, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick have confirmed that X-Men characters Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead have been confirmed in returning to Deadpool 2. Also confirmed to be returning is the taxi driver, Dopinder, who was called up Deadpool. And Wernick said that I would say the relationship between Dopinder and Deadpool was the most fun for me. I would have to say that is true. I love the relationship and I love the character. And he'll be in the sequel as well, end quote. Later, the writer even joked that Dopinder would become a mainstay in the X-Men universe. We got to get him his own spinoff, he laughed. So Dopinder for the win.
You know, as small and you would think insignificant as that was, those thinking back about the movie, those scenes were some of the funniest in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that they're bringing him back. And I didn't even think for them to bring him back. But the fact that they are, is pretty awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. He's a good character.
Absolutely.
So moving on. In a breaking news announcement, DC Films, oh, Joe.
I know.
Come on.
I know, man.
DC Films has confirmed the premise and character plans for its Green Lantern reboot film, Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, Green Lantern Corps.
I mean, fans have been wondering for some time which of the four Earthbound Green Lanterns from DC Comics in the film that the film will focus on. The film will focus on Hal Jordan and John Stewart in what is described as a Lethal Weapon in Space story premise.
Mm.
Oh my goodness.
Oh snap. I'm excited to see the Green Lantern Corps, and I'm excited to finally see the Green Lantern as part of the JSA. JLA.
Now, here's my question. Are they going with both, or are they going to choose one for the Justice League and leave the other in space? What's your thoughts on that?
They kind of have to pick one. They kind of, there's only one Lantern that is part of the Justice League. Yeah. And whether it's Hal Jordan or John Stewart, that's left up to the writers and the screen. Because honestly, both of them are equally awesome. So I'm totally cool with that. And so, I'm super excited for Green Lantern.
Absolutely.
So moving on here, it looks like a fan favorite is coming back to The Flash, though it's not known exactly how he'll manage a return. That's because the character is none other than Ronnie Raymond, played by actor Robbie Amell, and we remember him as the original Firestorm in season one. Yeah. Amell's character has returned a few different times, and unfortunately, each time he's been killed off in some strange way. The thing is, he never stays down for long, and whether he managed to just avoid death or happens to be a doppelganger from another universe or another Earth, that's a possibility. Yeah. Raymond will be coming back in winter episodes, so in some form or fashion, to The Flash.
Wow. Okay. I see that if they use the other Earths.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to come back from the dead in our Earth, but they've been doing so many different universes. You know that's the route.
I mean, and Black Canary's already been established that she's still alive on other Earths.
Oh, and I don't know if you saw this, Joe, but literally right before I came on here, I saw on, I can't remember what website it was, I believe it was maybe Comic Book Movie, that Eddie Thawne was announced. His character is coming back to The Flash this season as well.
Oh.
So these are two guys that have been killed off, both of them coming back. So I'm pumped about the remaining episodes.
It's going to be good, dude. I mean, Flash is on point. I'm telling you, they're just doing it right.
It is. It's the best, man. But moving on to a different superhero show, the first look at Marvel's Defenders Assembled has finally emerged. The new cover of Entertainment Weekly's magazine puts the heroes side by side on top of a New York City taxi cab. The Defenders is set to arrive on Netflix in the summer of 2017 after 65 episodes of its core characters living separately in a shared universe. Each character will come together despite how little each of them is expecting it. Their first meeting will take place in the offices of Midland Circle. The four heroes find themselves trapped in the middle of a corridor and have to jointly battle their way through a group of enemies. Dude, are you kidding me? Come on.
Bring it.
Bring it on.
And you know what I love about this? Look at the logo. It's a retro 80s, right out of the 80s. See that logo with the shadow, the 3D shadowing effect?
They know what they're doing, man.
Oh, dude.
They know what they're doing. Marvel's killing it.
Marvel is rocking it right now. I'm telling you, it's a great time to be a nerd, and we are so excited for the Defenders. You have no idea. We've been talking about this for like 3 years, ever since Daredevil.
Yes. So long, man.
All right. So last in the news this week, we have Star Wars franchise is bigger than ever and on the cusp of its second consecutive $1 billion movie. And now fans will have a new way to celebrate their favorite franchise, the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, which will house artifacts and exhibits from Star Wars, amongst many other George Lucas projects and items from the history of film, finally has a home. Look at that. How beautiful. Oh, my God.
Dude.
Shut up and take my money right now. After nearly going to Chicago, but being fought by a group there and debating between San Francisco, where Lucasfilm and Skywalker Ranch are located, and Los Angeles, they have chosen Exposition Park in Los Angeles, California, as the site of the museum. So,
are you kidding me?
Look
at that. That is the future. Oh, my God.
So this whole thing will have original artifacts, original props from all the George Lucas films.
Book a flight right now. Let's get our tickets.
Let's do it. Well, they got to build the dang thing first.
Let's go.
So before we go into this week's topic, we do have a PopX Hit It of the Week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for PopX's Hit It of the Week.
All right, so that is PopX's Hit of the Week. And so here, I got to share with you something before we go into the news. This is kind of crazy retro. If you want to talk about old school, I guess I kind of embody that. So I was going through some boxes. I have tons of boxes of action figures that I've collected since the 80s. I mean, I have original stuff and all that. Some of these boxes I haven't opened up since I left Kentucky. So I pretty much forgot. I got some of these boxes out of storage, and some of them I forgot what was in them. So I was going through one of my boxes this past week, and I come across a relic that was produced in 1977 and that I wore in 1984. Can you guess what it is?
Something Superman-y, I assume, right?
Close.
All right. Okay.
So, all right. So I'm just gonna do this.
Oh my gosh!
I found this relic, and it's amazing. And the condition that it's in, it's got Hulk. It's got the size on it, kid size, as you can see. This is the original costume that I wore for two Halloweens in a row in 1984 and 1985. Here is my mask. Look at that.
Oh my God.
But wait, it gets better. It gets better.
That's amazing.
The original costume.
There we go. Oh, dude.
I don't want to mess it up too much, but
Don't make them like they used to. Look at that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But right there is a date stamp, 1977. This is when this was made. And they fabricated these all throughout the 80s as well. So that's how come this one has 77 on it, but it was actually produced in 77.
That is so retro.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I know it's not Halloween, but I had to show you guys.
Look, if you find something like that, man, you have to share it with PopX.
Yeah.
I figured
you guys would enjoy that, so I just wanted to share that. So now we're going to dive right into this week's topic, which is video games and consoles. Holy cow. Well, this week was amazing, by the way. I just want to say, I stayed up late to watch the Nintendo Switch debut, as you should say, online from Nintendo. And I was not disappointed at all. I was a little disappointed in the interpretation. Because some of the interpreters were like,
translations.
Oh my God, the translators were so like, it was so lethargic the way they spoke. It was just like, and now it is time for Switch. And so it was very monotone. I think Lindsay Badger and I, myself, we stayed up for that and we watched it. That's but a release date and price of the Nintendo Switch have finally been announced. The Nintendo Switch will launch on March the 3rd, 2017. And it will be simultaneously in Japan, the United States, and Canada, and all other major European countries. Hong Kong and other territories are suggested retail price of $299 USD, or if you're really wanting to keep track, that's 29,980 yen, if you care. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch for a moment. The console was announced back in October 20th, and we all saw this right before Halloween. They dropped this nugget on us, this 4.5-5 minute trailer, and I have to say I was thoroughly impressed with a promo video that was released, and it created a huge buzz storm on social media. Buzz began circulating the internet and flooding social media. The Switch is revolutionary, and the feeling we're getting is that it's kind of rekindling the vibe that we all felt when we first saw the Nintendo Wii for the very first time. How it's interactive, it's taking the controller in your hand and using it for something other than just pushing buttons. So, and it was really cool to see that throwback to November 2006 when I remember seeing the Wii for the first time coming to the market. So the Nintendo Switch combines all generations. Now, this is a really cool fact that I did not know. Combines all generations of Nintendo gaming consoles into one system. From the analog stick of the Nintendo 64, the Rumble Pack features of that as well, the simplicity of the original NES remote control, and the mobility of the Wii U. It combines all aspects, and including the Game Boy original, the Nintendo DS, it combines all those elements into one console. So all the controllers are motion active. All of the you take the console out and play it mobily, and you put the Joy-Con on both sides of the screen, and you play this like that, like it's a giant tablet video game in your hand. So, thoroughly impressed.
They're basically, they're catering to everyone and everything. All the complaints that people had when they debuted the Wii U, how it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as different as we wanted it to be. This is the one, man. This is the one that has to hit for Nintendo.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, where they are entering the mobile game market with games like Pokemon Go and Super Mario Run, I honestly think that they may have a home run on this one, because I personally haven't heard a buzz about a new Nintendo console much like I've heard about this one. There's a lot of buzz about it, and I personally went and made a purchase this past week. And the day after the announcement, I was in the line at GameStop. I was number 5 in the line, and I got myself secured a Nintendo Switch. So I will have it on March the 3rd in hand.
There you go, Joe. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations. I'll be down there to play it.
Yeah, I know you will. I know you will.
So, girl, I'll be there. Let's talk it, baby. Stop it, Austin Burke.
Oh my God. You're making me blush. Anyway,
hey, you want to switch it up a little bit?
Let's do it.
See what I did there. Switch it. let's talk a little bit about the Switch. So the Switch has 32 gigs of internal memory, which can be expanded using micro SD cards, of course. The screen is a 6.2-inch multi-touch capacitive touch screen. How in the world are they doing this? Which can support a resolution of 1280 by 720. While the tablet is 720p, it can switch up to 1080p when docked and outputting into a TV.
Nice.
So it is, like you said, a mixture of mobile and of the Wii and of the NES. I mean, they're taking every element from everything that's worked and combining into one. So that is pretty incredible. So besides the Nintendo Switch console itself, the system comes with the L and R Joy-Con controllers, the Joy-Con wrist traps, the Joy-Con grip, the Nintendo Switch dock, an HDMI cable, an AC adapter. There is one model with gray controllers and another model with neon red and one neon blue, which will be the same suggested retail price. The Pro controller is sold separately. Online services for the Nintendo Switch will let you invite friends to play games online, set play appointments, chat, and more, according to Nintendo president
Tatsu Kimishima.
That guy. Kimishima. According to that guy you see on your screen.
That is Kimishima. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like Kimishima. Okay. Nintendo has revised its approach to region locking. So Kimishima stated, "We decided that in general, we will not apply region locking to Nintendo Switch software. Users will be able to test out some Nintendo Switch online services for free during a post-launch trial period. It will become a paid service starting in fall 2017. So that's very interesting, Joe.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like they're going to the Xbox Gold, the PS4 Plus, PlayStation Plus. It kind of seems like they're going that route where that's actually...
Which I think they need at this point.
They do, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, because that actually will come back to the player, because they're going to offer perks. They could offer perks like maybe free games or game discounts, or you trade in certain... If you play the game and you earn so many Nintendo coins or tokens, you can trade them in for games digital download content. So that's actually really cool. So the Joy-Con controllers, which also come in red and blue, they have a few basic setups. The basic controller mode is when both the left and right controllers are attached to the Joy-Con grip, which can be used to play games in TV mode. But the two controllers can also function as individual controllers as well, where you can have two players. You can have one to a friend, and you can play certain multiplayer games like Mario Kart, for example. The controllers include A, B, X, Y buttons, as well as a L and R, left and right, and a home button. Attachment wrist straps and more prominent L and R buttons. Each controller has an analog stick as well, which is a throwback to the N64. That also functions as a button, and you can click it, so it's almost like an R3 or an L3 button on a PlayStation 4. A new square capture button can be used to capture screenshots of gameplay, which you can share on social media. That's awesome. Pretty cool.
That is awesome.
In the future, you'll be able to use this to capture video footage according to Nintendo.
What?
Both Joy-Con controllers includes accelerometers, gyro sensors, and HD rumble systems. That adds all new levels of sensitivity to motion-based gameplay. The right R controller also has a motion infrared sensor camera that can be used that can sense the shape, motion, and distance of objects in front of it. Insane. That's crazy. Head to the Nintendo Wiki page for more information on the Joy-Con controllers. So if you have any, if you want to know more about these Joy-Con, there is a Joy-Con and Nintendo Switch Wiki page that's already been set up, and you can get all the information there as well. But it sounds like from the get-go that they're going to be combining some pretty awesome elements to the gameplay and sharing capabilities of these new upcoming video games. That's pretty exciting, Austin, don't you think?
The thing that got me was the screen capture and potential of video capture. I mean, this is something that is going to, you know, revolutionize other, you know, say an Xbox or a PlayStation as well. Because do you know how many people get online to watch stuff about video games? You know, the most popular YouTubers are gamers.
Yeah.
Gamers,
You think of Ollie A. You think of Ollie A. Shout out to Ollie A. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, this is going to revolutionize the game. And I love that they're adding the things that make the Xbox good, the things that make the PlayStation good, but they're putting their own flair on it. So I'm telling you, man, Nintendo is about to maybe be on top. I don't want to say revolutionize the market, but they could end up being on top.
It's going to be
great.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, and the system is, it may not be the most flashiest system like a PlayStation 4, but I think the overall interactive capability of the system itself is just going to, it's going to really entice a lot of gamers. For sure.
Absolutely, man. So Nintendo also revealed prices for the individual Nintendo Switch controller sets, accessories, and other peripherals. That's $79.99 for the controller set, $49.99 for the individual L&R controllers, $69.99 for the Pro controller, $29.99 for the charging grip, and $89.99 for the dock set. A handful of games were announced launching with the Switch, including 1-2 Switch, Splatoon 2, Super Mario Odyssey, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of Wind, Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Minecraft, among many others hitting retail in summer 2017. And Joe, I know you got a chance to see some of these trailers. Does this not look... These games,
well,
man.
The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild was one of the games.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah. That actually caught me right off the guard. It was just, it's beautiful. It's like you're playing a work of art. I mean, I have no other way to describe it. It's like you're playing a work of art. And it was truly amazing to watch and see the trailer and see just the landscapes. And like one of the things that the programmers had said about the game, anywhere that you can see on the map or anywhere that you can see on the horizon, you can go to.
That's cool.
Unlike Nintendo 64 or GameCube or Wii games, where horizons were just basically just pixel art or just screen mappings, these are actual, it's in the game, and you can actually go to the mountains on the horizon, or you can go to the clouds. Dude, it's mind-blowing, dude, I'm telling you.
The realism of the sets in that trailer. I mean, you look at the characters, it's got a very artsy look to the characters. But I kind of like the look that they're going for. But when you look at the scenery, it's kind of like when you're watching a Pixar movie and you see the background compared to the characters, and you're like, okay, that looks like I could actually be there. That was the feeling I got when I was watching this trailer. I could actually.
There was a movie that came out but with Disney, and it's one that probably not a lot of people went and saw. But it's a movie that is visually striking, and that is The Good Dinosaur. Did you see that one?
Yes.
All right, so the opening 5 minutes, I swear to goodness, I thought it was actual nature stock footage. And I'm like, oh my God, they've actually combined stock footage into a Pixar film. Yeah. No.
It's phenomenal.
No, I was so wrong on that one. You have no idea. It's CGI. Yeah. I was blown away, dude.
It's kind of like how The Jungle Book was, too. I mean, you look at The Jungle Book, that whole movie's filmed in one room.
It's insane.
But look at the scenery.
I know.
It looks so real.
It's insane.
Just like this trailer, man. So I'm excited for Zelda. I think more of
Zelda's going to be great. And then Super Mario in kind of modern day world cityscapes.
In the city?
That's crazy, man. So,
it's got a cool feel to it. Dude.
And there's going to be a plethora of third party developers that are actually going to be merging with Nintendo and creating some amazing new video games, including Skyrim is going to be one of them. We've also got Sega is coming in and creating Sonic Mania, which is going to be really awesome. So, and EA Sports has agreed to bring in FIFA and 2K and Madden and all their core games. That is going to be part of the Nintendo Switch launch as well. So that's the elephant in the room. That is the Nintendo Switch. And if you haven't already gotten your pre-order in, chances are you may not get one by March 3rd. So I'm just letting you know. So now we're going to actually switch. That is some consoles. There's also some consoles that I didn't really mention or put in the notes that have actually been revamped. The Xbox is now the Xbox Slim, and it's really nice. And you got the PlayStation 4 Plus, which and both versions now have upgraded hard drives and can now stream to 4K to your television set. So if now me for personally, I have a PS4, the original, so it only streams 1080p. So, but there's new version that came out just before the holidays, which is really cool. It's like Xbox has got a white console, and it's really neat, and it's got upgraded, I think it's like a terabyte storage, which is ridiculous. Wow. They've upgraded a lot of things, a lot of components, video cards, CPUs, power supplies, and they've kind of really done the same thing with PlayStation as well. They just kind of overhauled it, gave it a modern update, but it's still PlayStation 4. So, moving on now with some video games that are coming out. We're going to kind of skim through these inadvertently, but these are some games that are on the watch list for 2017. And these are the ones that Team PopX is really, truly excited to play. And we're excited to see them actually get them in our hands and actually play the games. So some video games that's on our radar is one of the first ones right off the bat is Resident Evil 7. Now, this is the seventh generation edition of the Resident Evil franchise. And it comes out next week, January 24th, 2017, on Xbox, PlayStation, and digital download as well. So it is a harrowing homecoming of the survivor horror franchise. While Resident Evil 7 draws from the series' roots of its atmospheric survival horror, it also delivers a whole new level of terror. With the RE engine plus industry-leading audiovisual technologies, you experience every abhorrent detail up to close and personal, vivid details in Resident Evil 7. So pretty much the detail in this is insane, and I actually watched some of the trailers and walkthroughs. It's beautiful. It is a beautiful game. The game is set after the events of Resident Evil 7, taking place in modern day and revolving around a foreboding plantation mansion in rural America. Kind of sounds like Texas Chainsaw Massacre a little bit. Players must explore and survive the horrors within the mysterious sprawling estate.
Wow.
And that image though
is
that's creepy as heck, dude.
That's a little taste of what the game's going to be, man. Oh.
Now, I actually have Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, the original ones from PlayStation.
Really?
Yes, I have them. Yeah.
The golden days, dude.
And here's another game that I've kind of, and it's been rumored that they're getting ready to release part 6 of this year. I don't know if you've ever played it, but it's on mobile platform only. But now they've adapted it to Steam, and you can actually download it on your computer. And that's Five Nights at Freddy's. Have you ever played that game?
Dude, don't get me started. I had no clue what I was doing the first time I played that game. Somebody's like, here, just check it out. I was scared out of my mind.
Dude, I got to tell you, man, Five Nights at Freddy's. Here, all right, so let me tell you my exposure to Five Nights at Freddy's, okay? So I didn't really know about this game until recently. I'm talking like up until Halloween of this year. Yeah, I didn't know about it because I'm – I didn't really know about it. And this is a game that's kind of slipped my radar for the past 2 years. How I have no idea. Now it's like you go into comic book shops, you can actually buy Freddy as a little plastic figure. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Well, Alex and I were in Las Vegas October 2016, just last year. And we actually were at the Fright Dome at Circus Circus. We're there. They have haunted houses you can walk through. And one of them was Five Nights at Freddy's.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I walked through the house and there Freddy was following me down the hallway, dude. It was freaky.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I remember having to go to the bathroom after I did that house. Like it was so freaky.
But yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's was released on August 8, 2014 on Desura. And on August 20th, 2014, Five Nights at Freddy's was also released jointly with Steam, and that's a big network for video games, after it was approved by the service's crowdsourcing platform, Greenlight. And so mobile ports of the game have been released for Android and iOS, and it's taken pretty much mobile platforms by storm as players jump in their seats as they are scared out of their shoes at some of the most horrific screams, blood-curdling animatronic horror goodness. It is a glorious game. You will jump, and you won't know it, and you a little bit of pee may come out. I'm just letting you know that right now. Okay? So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's... Yeah, that game, the first time I was exposed to it, like I said, no clue what I was doing. It's probably the scariest, other than Slender Man. Of course, you know, everybody's played Slender Man.
Oh, Slender Man's freaky, dude.
As heck. But did you know, fun fact, did you know they are in development of a Five Nights at Freddy's movie?
I did know that, actually. Yes, I knew that. And
could be good?
It could. I think it could be really good. I think it could be really good.
Maybe we can finally have a good video game.
I mean, just look at those animatronics, though.
Just looking at that picture, dude. But here's a game, Joe, that I am really looking forward to after seeing the trailer for it. And it is Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4.
Mm.
Okay. So some new details about Ratchet & Clank developer Insomniac Games' upcoming Spider-Man game have come to light. Appearing on PlayStation's E3 recently, Bill Roseman from Marvel and Brian Intihar from Insomniac revealed that the game is not tied to next year's Spider-Man Homecoming, and they discussed how the game will depict an older Spider-Man.
Mm.
So basically, it's a standalone, Roseman said. I think we've been inspired by all of the different mediums that Marvel has, whether it's film, animation, live action, comic books, or even t-shirts. So we're looking at everything and we're blending it all together. But it's standalone. All new story, all new world. We're always stretching. We're always challenging. We're always moving the characters forward. So to me, Joe, this could be a throwback. Do you remember the Spider-Man game? I believe it was the PlayStation 1. Do you remember that game?
The original
Spider-Man.
Fun fact, I have that game and I have the Incredible Hulk as well.
Oh, man, that was my favorite game when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And what I like about those games is that they're not a part of the movie universe. They don't have to feel restrained, you know, with the stories that go along, say, in the MCU or whatnot. So I think this Sony is they're doing something special here, man.
It's
so
beautiful.
I think this could be really special.
I saw the trailer online the day it came out, and I was just flabbergasted. I mean, right down to the details of his suit. And
suit's beautiful. Just,
yeah, it's like you can see the pigments and pores of the suit and the fine etchings. And I love the fact that they went with the white spider. I like that.
Yes.
I love that, dude. That's really cool.
Like they said, switching it up from the movies. And I think the costume, man, is going to get people to buy the game. The costume alone.
Well,
he looks.
I think just to be able to explore anywhere in the city, it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto meets Marvel Comics. I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome. Dude.
Oh my gosh, man. But we're talking superheroes. There's another game that I want to mention as well, and that's Injustice 2. So the superpowered sequel to the hit fighting game Injustice Gods Among Us. Injustice 2 features a massive roster of DC superheroes, supervillains, and allows players to build up and power up the ultimate version of their favorite DC characters. Every battle defines you in a game where players personalize iconic DC characters with unique and powerful gear earned throughout the game. For the first time, gamers can take control of how their characters look, fight, and develop across a variety of game modes. Injustice 2 continues the epic cinematic story introduced in Injustice Gods Among Us as Batman and his allies. And I love the story in these games as well, Joe. It's not just the fighting. The story's incredible in itself.
Yeah.
But they're working towards putting the pieces of society back together while struggling against those who want to restore Superman's regime. If you guys play the first one, you know what that's talking about. In the midst of the chaos, a new threat appears that will put Earth's existence at risk. Players can play from the biggest DC roster ever offered in a fighting game, from classic fan favorites such as Batman, Superman, Supergirl, and Aquaman, to astonishing new villains like Gorilla Grodd and Atrocitus? Who is that?
Let's just say he's up there with Darkseid, but keep going.
Oh, okay. But battles will take place across arenas that have evolved in scale and span across iconic locations such as Metropolis, Gotham City, and Atlantis. So, Joe, I played the first game, loved everything about the first game. I had it on mobile. I had to buy it on Xbox, worth every penny. And the story is one of those stories that people will go on YouTube just to watch the story from that game. That's how good the story is. So I think if they can pick up on where that left off, and plus including all the fighting stuff that they have, this could be very special for DC.
And just to give you a little information on Atrocitus, he's part of the Green Lantern Corps. Okay.
Oh.
He's the Red Lantern. So he's more of a. Let's see, how do I say this? He kind of looks like Darkseid, but he's got the red Green Lantern get up on. So if you Google him, he's a rival against Sinestro, who is Green Lantern's evil counterpart, and he obviously is a rival of the Green Lantern Corps as well. So
that is cool.
He's kind of the big bad above all the lanterns. He's like the dark side of the lanterns. Yeah. So that's quick. That's a quick skinny on it, but.
Okay, so cool.
All right, so here's three games really quick that also I'm really excited to play. And I don't own an Xbox, but I will say this. I have actually played a friend of mine's Xbox quite a bit just for this one particular game. I will not buy an Xbox because this is just me. If I was going to buy an Xbox, it would be just for this game because this game is so awesome. I'm talking about Halo. Halo Wars 2. And this comes out February 21st, 2017. And an all-new enemy threatens the Halo universe. And the only thing standing between the Armageddon and humanity is the brave crew on board the Spirit of Fire. Halo Wars 2 delivers a real-time strategy and the speed of Halo combat. Get ready to lead armies and Spartans and other Halo fighting forces like the Warthog, Scorpions, and exciting new units in a brutal war against a terrifying new enemy on the biggest Halo battlefield ever.
Wow.
And it looks like a combination of Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty, Halo, and Titanfall.
Yeah.
I just look
at the picture, man.
Yeah, I mean,
you
see the giant walkers in the background. That's a little bit of Titanfall there for you. And we mentioned this one earlier, too, and I had talked about it, but I got to just mention it right quick, and that's The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which I get to play hands-on on March the 3rd.
Oh,
so forget everything that you know about The Legend of Zelda games. Forget it. I mean, look at that. You can go anywhere on that map in the background there. So step into the world of discovery, exploration, and adventure in The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, a boundary-breaking new game in the acclaimed series. You can travel across fields, through forests, mountain peaks, as you discover what has become a ruined kingdom of Hyrule in a stunning open-air adventure. You get to explore an older Hyrule. So.
That's
very interesting. And last but not least is God of War. We have heard that Kratos is coming back, and it is to be announced. And it kind of looks like he's got a big beard in the new version, and it's really cool looking. The return of Kratos was bound to happen. But what Sony Santa Monica delivered on stage at E3 2016 was something amazingly different and welcome. Now, a third-person action game, God of War 4, has taken up the Norse mythos, leaving behind its Greek roots, and made one heck of an impression in its process. And the detail quality of the well-hidden secrets of the E3 reveal demo are any indication of the finished game. We're all truly excited to be able to finally get our hands on this game and play it in an open world exploration first-person game. So this is going to be really, truly awesome. And so I said first-person, but it's actually third-person. So you're exploring this like... You know, instead of first person where you're like Call of Duty, you can see your character.
You're like behind the guy. Okay.
Yeah.
The God of War games, man. I don't know if you've ever played those. I played them whenever I would go over to my friend's house. Holy cow. The guy is a boss. And if they ever do a fighting game between the best of the best video game characters, Super Smash Brothers style, put that guy in there, man. Because he's phenomenal.
You know what? They need to make a God of War movie. And they need to recruit someone like Batista to play him.
Okay, why don't you just work at the casting agency, Joe? Because, come on, man. That's Dave. I don't know how you pulled Dave Bautista off your head, but that is perfect. Look at that guy.
I mean, seriously, Dave Bautista could do it. He's got the body
perfect,
for it.
Man.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. John Cena. John Cena's got the physical.
He's getting into acting. He just signed a contract with Warner Brothers. Yeah,
or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, go ahead.
The Rock does everything. He has cloned himself because he's in a movie every 2 weeks. It's ridiculous. but moving on, we have a couple more games. Mass Effect Andromeda. So a new adventure awaits in the universe with Mass Effect Andromeda, the first next generation game in the expansive sci-fi RPG franchise Mass Effect, created by acclaimed studio BioWare. Mass Effect Andromeda takes place far away from and long after the events of the original trilogy. With stunning visuals and a new galaxy to discover, BioWare delivers the next generation of space exploration. So we figured after the last one that there was going to be another one. Hopefully they can bring the story with it, man, because I hope they're not just doing this as a cash grab. They probably are, but I hope it's good.
Well, I have to personally admit here, I have not played Mass Effect.
I didn't play the first two. I played a little bit of the last one. It was pretty fantastic. But after the third one ends, it's over, right?
Yeah.
But I like what they're doing, you know, putting this in the far future. So I think that could be interesting. Another game that looks very interesting, Joe, and I know you'll appreciate this, Friday the 13th, the game. So Jason is out to get you in a terrifying game based on the slasher film franchise. Stalk camp counselors across Crystal Lake as Jason Voorhees, or assume the role of a helpless camper and attempt to survive the night. Dude, come on. The multiplayer component to the game puts one player as Jason against up to seven people as counselors. While Jason can be an immensely daunting, seemingly unstoppable force, he is able to be brought down with an epic win condition. It will be difficult and require some teamwork and perhaps a bit of ingenuity. We'll be giving you the tools and opportunities to realize the biggest win in horror gaming. Come on, man. The sense of relief at the end, knowing you stopped the biggest and baddest killer in the world, is not something to take lightly. And lest you be worried, Jason will always come back for more. So just the description of this game, man, the fact that you get to play as Jason, did you ever dream of?
If you go to IGN.com and there's about a 17-minute beta that the developers at IGN, some of the guys there that test video games, they actually recorded some of the beta stuff and put it up on IGN.com. And from what I saw, is it's almost like Call of Duty, where you can clan up and you can be with other counselors and you all can talk in live real time. Like, oh, he's over here near the lake. You guys need to get over here or whatever. And it's really, truly a team effort. This is not a game where you can solo beat Jason Voorhees by yourself. It's impossible. You have to have at least six or more to be able to bring him down because Jason teleports in this game. So just get ready for that.
Come on.
I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. So Friday the 13th is coming to a console near you in 2017. Wow. Get ready for it.
That is awesome.
And it'll be coming right before Halloween 2017.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's perfect. It'll be third quarter 2017 is when they're expected to release on that. And
cool.
All right, so last but not least here, this is a big one on our iWatch list. Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. And this is coming fourth quarter 2017, right before Christmas drops. The warriors of the Marvel Universe battle the fighters of the Capcom Universe in this fourth entry into the mashup fighting game series. In addition to single players, arcade training, and mission modes, a cinematic story mode puts players at the center of both universes as they play a battle for supremacy against powerful forces and a brand new villain. There's very limited video and release on this, but already out of the gate. Just look at Ryu, dude. Look at Ryu. And look at Mega Man. I mean, these two side by side, really?
Oh, man. And I love the fact that they put Captain Marvel front and center in that trailer, along with, Iron Man?
Captain Marvel. Yeah, look at that.
That's perfect.
Look at Captain Marvel. Doesn't she kind of look like the Phoenix right there?
She does look like the Phoenix. She got a little Jean Grey in her. But I appreciate, you know, how they're kind of, I feel like they're going to put her in as one of the leaders in the movie universe, and they're doing it in the games, man. So this looks epic beyond all.
Well, she's already set to drop on Avengers what is it? Infinity War.
Infinity War.
She's making her cinematic debut in that movie. And so Marvel is just rolling out everything Captain Marvel right now. Yes. So she is a hit, that's for sure.
And pairing with Capcom, are you kidding me?
Dude.
Again?
Well, this is the fourth generation game.
But the fact that, look at these visuals though, man.
I know. And this is the end game. This is not like rendered things. These are actual screenshots of the game. Yeah. And it's just, I'm done. This is like I said, 2017 is going to be a crazy, it's going to be crazy. So other titles that we're eyeballing for 2017 are honorable mentions, Super Mario Odyssey, which is expected to drop just before Christmas. And then we have Mario Kart for Switch. And that's been Mario Kart Deluxe, I think, is the name of that one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have mentioned Mass Effect Andromeda, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, there we go.
Outlast 2. Now, Tekken 7 has kind of been in the works since 2015. So they've released a bunch of information about it, but it sounds like the project's just kind of been paused. I don't know why. And then Days Gone and Ghost Recon Wildlands. Those are some of the games that Team Pop X is really, truly excited for 2017. We hope you agree. And if there's any of the games that we've mentioned or any of the games we've not mentioned, leave us a comment below in the comments section, and we would love to hear back from you and know what you're excited for 2017. What games are you playing? What games are you pre-ordering? Let us know, okay? So I think that's it, man. That's the episode.
I think that's it. I think this just showed us that 2017 is not just going to be a year for movies, man. This could be the year for gamers. Did you see how many games we mentioned? We're getting a new console.
Yeah.
We're getting some new technology. Oh, yeah. And of course, with the VR kind of ruling the world right now, it's going to be a big year for gaming. So I'm glad we were able to hit on some stuff. And like Joe said, your game, let us know, tweet at us, whatever. Let us know what game you're looking forward to most, because there's so many to choose from.
Absolutely. And as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop or just in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media with our new hashtag YoPopX. If you see the hashtag, use it. And if you use it, we can definitely try to include your image on a next and future upcoming show here on PopX. So if you're at the movies, take a selfie in front of the movie poster. Or if you're at the comic book shop, show us what you picked up for that Wednesday, okay? Wednesday is comic book day, so remember that. Nice. So hashtag YoPopX.
YoPopX. Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
Absolutely. And follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest, all at PopXCast. Email us at popxcast@gmail.com, and we would love to hear from all of our amazing and faithful listeners. Also, for future and past shows, always check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
Yes, sir.
So that, I think we are officially on a wrap.
I think that's it, man. I'm Austin Burke at the Burkinator on the Twits and the Instagrams, and I have YouTube where I do movie stuff and reviews and whatnot on YouTube.
Absolutely. And Miss Lindsay Badger, I want to give a shout out to her at LR Badger. She's on the interwebs as well. And I am Joe Burke, a.k.a. at Rotcab, ROTCAV on the internet. And of course, hats off to the amazing Team PopX for making this come just be an awesome show. We couldn't do it without this amazing team of four people. Lindsay Badger holding down the chat room and just being socially interactive, as we like to call it. And for Mike up in Atlanta, giving us some slides and graphic love. We appreciate you, Mike, and all the love and passion that you have for everything PopX. He is. Oh, really? We get a little Batman chick. Oh, yeah.
Batman. That works out good.
Thank you, man. Oh, he's great. So next week, man, we got a really cool show coming up for you on January the 22nd, episode 45. We are going to be uncovering part two of Origin Stories, and this is going to be, look at that graphic.
Oh,
X-Men.
Come on.
We're going to be doing Mr. Sinister, because what?
That's cool.
Mr. Sinister is coming up in the X-Men universe, and Cable, who is set to be announced in the upcoming Deadpool part two. So we are going to give you some backstory on these two guys, and you will be surprised. The reason I did this, Mr. Sinister and Cable are connected, but how, I cannot tell you.
I like what you're doing, Joe. I like what you're doing.
You like what I do. All right, guys. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Everybody over in the chat room, Benny, and we had Josh and Lindsay Badger, of course. Team PopX is just rocking it. And we had Michael Thomas and Mr. Cliff Bodenweiser and just all the other amazing people that dropped by in the YouTube live chat room. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And you know what? We'll see you next time right here on PopX.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.